Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Drama tonight on BTTV. Season 3 of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead is exclusive to BT customers.
He's arrived now, at all costs.
TV and satellite, we call it a five-star thrill ride.
Why are you doing this?
Watch Fear the Walking Dead tonight on BTTV, where you'll find top-quality drama, kids' shows and blockbuster movies. Plus, if you want to catch up on Seasons 1 and 2, you can own them now by buying them on the BTTV store. To find out more, visit bt.com/TV. BTTV. Big entertainment, tiny prices.
You'll need BT broadband and a fast enough line. Recording functionality available with selected BT TV packs. Terms apply.
It's the end of another week, but we're just getting started with our critical take on the film business and the business of film in the company of Joanna Iluka, Laroshka Ivanzada, Stefan Pierre Mitchell, and Jesse Quinones. I'm Emmanuel Animusigwe, and if it's Friday night, it is Meet the Critics. Those of you just joining us, we thank you. Glad to have your company also. Right, we have a lot to get through before the hour passes us, and so I'd like, if I may, for all of us to make a start on our discussion about the year that has been 2017 so far in terms of movie highlights, and goodness me, there have been a few. So, who'd like to kick this one off and give me their movie highlights of 2017? Literally, I'm opening up to everyone. Who wants to kick? All right, let's start with the paid critic amongst us, Laroshka.
Well, it's difficult because the beginning of the year is always Oscar season, so you've always got those big ones, which are the kind of considered films of the year. So I'd be interested to hear what everyone thought of those and whether they were actually as well rated as everyone seemed to consider. I don't know about you. I think Moonlight was a fantastic film and a well-deserved entry, and thank goodness it won after all that debacle at the end of the awards.
Yeah, the less we talk about the debacle, the better, I think.
Well, it deserves to be remembered for more than that, is
yes,
what I would say.
Absolutely.
It felt like a bit of a game changer, and I was relieved to not see La La Land win myself, much though I liked the film. I think, you know, it's time for something a bit fresh. That felt like a bit of a throwback to me. And
Stefan, you liked La La Land, didn't you?
I didn't like the film. Like, it's not my style, but what I liked...
You just threw me on the robust day. You do realise that, don't you?
So, for what I liked about La La Land was the director and his work. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, as a director, was... well deserved.
Yeah,
I was happy as director winning it, the Oscar. As for Moonlight, I was very disappointed.
Ooh.
Because it's representation of the whole culture. You had Hidden Figures, you had Lion, you had other films that to me was a better representation. Fences as well. So having Moonlight Best Picture, where it shot the worst representation of the cultural, black cultural thing, it wasn't. I think it was overhyped. Overhyped for me. Did not work for me.
Laroshka, do you want to come back in?
I can see what you mean, and I think even some of the people involved in it had those... reservations, like Naomi Harris, I know voiced quite strongly that she felt that the character she was portraying was very cliched.
Yeah.
It's just crack
out. I'd love to jump in on this one, because I grew up about 10 minutes from where that was shot.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so I'm a Miami guy. I loved it for its representation, because I grew up in that world. I think I hear what you're saying, and I do feel like there can be more there's definitely a need for more positive stories, and Hidden Figures is a great example, but they got it. You know, the guy that wrote it, the guy that directed it, both lived it. Their parents were crackhead parents, and I think they were just telling their story. So I loved it for that.
My point is that it's not something that we don't know. We don't know about Hidden Figures. We didn't know about those women that have changed.
No, I hear you, but I think having those stories, you know, it's one thing if somebody came out from the outside and told that story, but these guys were telling their own story. And it's like, I feel like there can't be this thing. And I've experienced it myself with calisthenics, and that was why, you know, I've had heat for that as well, where you're like, you know, you're trying to tell your story, but then it's like, okay, but you got to censor yourself a little bit rather than just be a storyteller. And I feel like that's something that can be quite frustrating. So for me, it's like I was so blown away that that kind of story, 10 minutes from where I used to grow up, and I seen that stuff, I loved it.
Yeah, so to have that kind of, whatever you say about representation, I can understand, but still to have that film and to have it as the best film, to have it up there winning the Oscar was still a groundbreaking moment. You know, that was unusual. You don't get that. So to me, that was a new thing. But it was, to me, it wasn't, you know, what made it stand out, isn't it, is the technical, like you were saying about La La Land, the director. I mean, it's the way it was directed was pretty extraordinary. Not just the actors, but obviously the visual style of it, all that amazing kind of blues and purples and fantastic.
Oh, I like that. I loved it. And again, I'm going again with Marshall Ali, who won Best Supporting Role. I think the younger version of him should have gotten that, because that guy was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was the best part for me for Moonlight. It was the younger version of Marshall Ali. Not the younger version. The young boy.
Charlie.
Mm-hmm. I watched it again just to look at the film and really critique the film, and I think I have to applaud that young actor. He was fantastic. Emotionally got me. And that was, to me, the best part of the film during that time of his lifetime. That's what I enjoyed about Moonlight. As best picture of the year, no.
Well, what would be your best picture of the year then?
Probably will go to Hidden Figures. Yeah.
Joanna? I watched Hidden Figures and I really enjoyed it. Like you said, I think you touched on something, meaning it's a story that we haven't heard of. We don't know about the women that were doing so well with NASA. So I think it was definitely something that I praise. And in terms of, I actually haven't seen Moonlight yet, so I can't really comment on that, but from what I've heard of the storyline, like you're saying, again, Stefan, is that it's not a storyline that we haven't heard about before. So
it's, we know the problems. Yeah. We know the problems we're having in the hood. We know the problems of drugs, sexuality. Yes, the only thing I have to say about sexuality within black community has never been spoken the way it has with Moonlight. And I think that's one of the things I picked from Moonlight, and good on the director to speak about. It's something that is a taboo in the black culture. So that I picked on it, and I thought that was really good and important. And the bullying and all of that. But it's the other things that have issues, and the Oscars decides to give that as best picture. So you get the negativity out there as best picture when you had Hidden Figures out there. Beautiful story of Lion. You've got, you know, fences. You
but is it Moonlight a love story?
It is.
And that's why they gave it the Oscar, because it was a love story ultimately. But my issue with that is that they didn't go far enough, but we can get into that later on. But for me, that's why it got the Oscar. It's at heart a love story. But obviously, you're talking about all the negatives about it.
But, and the reason why I was watching that film in the West End, and I watched it again, I got a free ticket, and I could hear what the audience were saying. And these were middle-class Caucasians, and they did not connect with it. Well, what is this? What are the people saying? And I'm looking at the normal people, what they were saying about the film. Here in the UK, not everyone, obviously, but looking at the theatre goers and the people in their 50s and 60s, they did not connect with the film at all. My mom just couldn't stand it. And she's married to a black man, but she just could not stand the film as well. And there's a lot of people that I think it's overhyped and politically influenced with the Oscars, absolutely.
Jesse?
It's a weird process.
Is it hard to hear all these things?
No, like you said, I couldn't even fathom thinking about those things if I was trying to tell a story. That's the thing. And I think I can imagine it's the same for them. I think they were just trying to tell a good story and they were connected to the material. Same with the actors. I just don't think, I wouldn't even put that in my, it's like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine putting all that in my head while trying to tell a story. So I just think it's like, you have responsibility. And I assume that's the way the process they have. You have a responsibility to tell a beautiful story the best you can. All that other stuff, the chips fall where they will. That's the way I look at it, you know. And I love the film. I think it was really, having come from that community, I thought it was a great representation of that story, you know, and I thought it was great.
See, now, Johnny, you've not seen the film, so it's hard for me to kind of go into detail about what I didn't particularly... I was disappointed with the film, a bit like Stefan. It's one of the most overhyped movies ever.
Right.
And when I eventually sat down to watch the film with the missus, I think we both agreed that we were kind of left disappointed. This was after watching Blue is the Warmest Colour over Christmas.
Right.
Which so one of the first things that came to mind after watching Moonlight was that film. And literally I started comparing, because that's what I do. I was thinking, it wasn't a patch on Blue is the Warmest Colour, which for me is one of the best films I've ever watched. And because of the hype of Moonlight, that's kind of what I was half expecting watching Moonlight. So obviously as you watch the film and everything unfolds and you get to the end, I sat there and thought, no, you should have gone further than that. You can't just leave me hanging.
So you didn't think they're brave enough with the...
Not at all. I think if you're going to do a film like that, with everything behind it, Brad Pitt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all the political issues, et cetera, et cetera, they really should have gone there, and they didn't. And for me, as someone who is a curator and someone that just loves films full stop, what gets me angry more than most things is when filmmakers do not go there when they're supposed to. And a film like Moonlight should have done that. You talked about responsibility. That's what Barry Jenkins should... But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. And I'm a believer of use that power. It has a great message, but make me uncomfortable. Go to the extreme to make me uncomfortable, and that will stick out. What they did was they played safe. They played safe.
Why do you think they did that? Because it's not as if there were any barriers, supposedly, to putting a story like that out there.
They're being cautious. They're like, oh God, you always think of the audience all the time. So you have to be careful. So maybe...
But a film about black gay love, how can you be cautious about that? Or am I being naive, LaRushka?
Well, I'm intrigued where you wanted it to go, Emmanuel.
I've just given you the example of Blue is the Warmest Colour.
Netflix and chill.
He needs more exposure, yeah, I think, is what Emmanuel's getting at.
I mean, it gives a relatively happy ending. Do you think that was a kind of cop-out? Or
it was a complete cop-out.
But you know.
They didn't even consummate, and I'm using that word kind of loosely, but even that didn't happen.
It's a film about yearning, you know, and desire. And so I think it had to end in an unconsummated fashion.
Unfulfilled.
No, it's quite different. Literally. I don't, it doesn't mean it hinted at more. I felt he was personally fulfilled. It was about someone's journey and about them becoming themselves, I think, more than anything else. So I feel that he reached a conclusion because he realised that he felt that he'd realised himself, and he'd sort of announced himself to the world as a gay man, and that was his journey. So that was consummation enough for me, but obviously... Physical aspects were lacking for you.
Yes, quite.
But you know, there's a tradition of that, isn't there, in the Oscar movies? I mean, for gay love particularly, think of Philadelphia back in the 90s. And that was really brave for just showing this domestic setup of two gay men, one of them played by Tom Hanks, which would still be kind of, I don't know, radical today, I guess, showing him. And I think did they kiss at all? Maybe on the cheek? There was just like, and have things moved on very much in Hollywood mainstream for that? Not much.
I do think we're entering an era whereby filmmakers need to be even more braver to get people's attention. Obviously, watching Moonlight, you watch it all the way through to the end, and I'm there expecting it to go there. So to that extent, the filmmakers have done their job. And then when we get to that point and they don't do it, it's like... It's not for me. It's not for me. I have to say, and there are other films that I could list whereby that sense of you've not gone there and it doesn't happen. It's like, you can't do that to me. It's like,
what about Hidden Figures, where everyone seems very up? I mean, I loved it too, but I mean, that had its own compromises in it, I felt. And, you know, it's a lot of rosy tintedness. I mean, that's one big rosy tinted film, isn't it?
For
in a
sure.
fantastic way. But,
yes.
You know.
And obviously it's based on a true story as well. So there's only so much kind of license you can have to kind of rose tinted, however you want to paint it. But I know from watching it with the missus, she was completely blown away by the film, the fact that it spoke so much for black women in general, not just that generation, but today's generation and the one before that. It's a film for all ages. So in many ways, the fact that it didn't win an Oscar and was the most highly grossed film not to be winning an Oscar, I mean, that's kind of bizarre, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's always the... I mean, highly grossing films hardly ever win Oscars. That's not unusual, I'd say. I mean, I know what you mean. It was popular and it is groundbreaking film. And it's brilliant that it... I mean, it got its own awards, I think, by being so commercial. I mean, that's the goal for lots of filmmakers, isn't it? That most people are going to see your film. Not that it makes money, but so many people are going to see it. You know, the same cannot be said of lots of films that win Oscars. I mean, hundreds of millions of people are going to see it. they're not going to moonlight how many people are going to see that. I don't know how well it did in the UK though, Hidden Figures. I think it, you know, it did huge in the in America.
It did quite well actually, Hidden Figures. It grossed over 5 million.
Okay.
I do believe Moonlight slightly higher. Mm-hmm. Fences, which we've not talked about, which I want to get onto. Fences for me is one of the best films I've watched this year.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember. I remember talking to people about it at various events, and one of the underlying issues, which we'll get into in the next section, is this whole theatre and film and whether the paths should cross or whether theatre should just stay to theatre, because essentially they've just taken the play and put it on screen. Stefan, you're the actor here.
Right. Let me go back. Fences. What Denzel did was just outstanding. As a director, very disappointed to what he did. It's draining. It can become really boring and tiring. But what saved it was Denzel's performances and Viola. So he could have done more things with it to bring that static kind of style of film. It was quite draining, but you know, what got me was Denzel. Denzel, probably one of the best performances of this year at the Oscar, was him.
And he didn't get the Oscar for that?
No, he didn't.
A lot of people thought he should have.
I thought as well. I thought he was the best actor. He was the man of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is going to be, I suppose, controversial, but
that's why you're here.
Exactly why I'm here. I just personally felt like Denzel was just playing himself. Really, like, I didn't think that it was anything spectacular at all. I think the film was quite boring. It took a long time to get anywhere and just quite negative. I left there feeling my mood went down, and because I watched it in cinema, and I just felt like I've wasted an hour or so.
But like I said,
quite long.
2 hours 20. Actually.
Yeah, it was quite long, and I remember thinking, when is this actually over?
So like I said, I know it's a play, so he has to think as a director, it's not a movie, so there are other things he needed to do with the film to get people's attention as a director. So can theatre and movies cross? Yes, if the directors have to change their ideas and putting it on film, it's not stage. So yeah, as a director, to me, it was a good attempt, but not the best. Performance, outstanding. He pulled the film out, because if not, it would have been boring.
Jesse, as a director, when you hear this, what's your counter?
I haven't seen Fences. Right. Yeah. It's interesting, because I started in theatre and then moved into film, and that whole thing of... When I did read that apparently he didn't change, like, the play is pretty much just, he just filmed it.
Yeah.
Yes, verbatim.
So that's quite, I admire the boldness. It's quite bold to do that, but it's tricky to, it's like one location, right?
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, without seeing it, I can't really, it's hard to say on it, but.
Larashka?
Yeah, Denzel playing Denzel, I know what you mean. Like, it captured his arrogance, I think, brilliantly. There was a lot of close-ups of Denzel on Denzel, I felt. It was like, hey, I'm directing me in my Oscar bait movie here. I definitely think there's a lot of posturing, and I think that's why Viola Davis was such a brilliant casting opposite him, because she's not going to let him get away with anything, is she? He's going to have to up his game, quite frankly, by being next to her.
But surely that was a great thing about the film, the chemistry between Viola and Denzel.
Yeah, the chemistry that was there, they were astonishing. Yeah, I agree about the staginess. I mean, it just felt like it's... really unbold move to just make it a slightly unconvincing looking stage set.
Yes.
Like, either maybe make it look like a stage set, in which case it, you know, the play must speak for itself, or else mix it up a bit, make it more filmic, cut some of the duff bits that don't really work on screen. It is a very different medium, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think the Oscars probably ignored it, as the industry always feel a bit awkward when you have a director and starring it and doing everything. You feel like like you said, Denzel was everywhere in those shots, close up, everything was Denzel. And these are the things the industry sometimes feels a bit reluctant about. Yeah, should we give an Oscar who has just done everything about himself? So these are the things that might take.
Okay, let's leave it there. We'll continue this conversation in just a couple of moments. I'm Emmanuel Animasigwe, and if it's Friday night, it is Meet the Critics. We are discussing the movie highlights of 2017, and I'm in the company of Joanna Reluca, Larashka Ivanzada, Stefan Pierre Mitchell, and Jesse Quinones. Now, as these things usually happen, during the break, we're veering off into so many different tangents. I won't go into detail about some of the stuff we talked about during the break. But what I will bring it back to, if I can, is, Stefan, you mentioned Manchester by the Sea, for which Casey Affleck won Best Actor Award. What is it about that film that kind of got you?
His performance. And, you know, I almost said I don't want to like him because of his, you know, what he's known for. But it was very beautifully performed, and it's hard to perform a character like he did. And so I connected with that film, with his character, I think. And but I'll still go back and say, yes, Denzel should have won that. I still go back because what he did was outstanding. And so I think the Academy must have felt that, oh, well, you directed it, you've put yourself in, we're not going to give it, but we know we're good, and he is good.
Lurowski, you're a fan of Manchester by the Sea as well.
Yeah, it's for anyone who's not seen it, it's this incredibly bleak, very bleak watch film set in Boston, like everything starring all the Afflecks is set in Boston, about this troubled man who's a janitor, and he's got this terrible family past, and he goes back to his home to see what terrible tragedy has occurred there. Won't give it away, obviously. What I liked about it is it's a very understated performance. It's incredibly withdrawn and interior. And you think of Oscar performances and you often think big, you know, like, or transformative, like Matthew McConaughey losing all the weight for Dallas Buyers Club, or putting on the weight, or doing something, or just being really out there. It's like a performance you can't ignore. And this film, you know, it's a long film, it's a bleak film. It's definitely
longer than Fences.
Is anything longer than Fences?
No, probably not. So
yeah, I really liked it from that point of view. It wasn't showy.
Jesse, you liked Manchester by the Sea as well?
Yeah, very much. It just felt like a really nuanced, subtle... I think what you were just saying, Lubushka, just like kind of... I don't know. That's the beautiful thing I love about film, is that you can see so much internal stuff happening. And I think that's one of the things that always drew me to film going from theater, was just that sort of beautiful thing that can happen in great film acting, where you see this guy have a world of stuff going on underneath. And his face might be trying to kind of convey another thing, and he's trying to hold it together, but he's got so much grief. And I also loved the way it was told. It was really unusual, the kind of structure of it as well. So I thought it was very adventurous as a story.
So that got me because of the internal representation that he performed. That is very hard. And it takes, you know, some you living the characters, and it shows in your emotion, your expressions. And that's why I connected with his character.
Johnny, did you want to come in there on Manchester by the Sea or any other films?
I haven't actually watched that movie, so I can't comment.
Any other highlights? Whilst I've got you on the mic now. Any other films this year that have...
I liked Gold as well. That was with Matthew McConaughey, where he had to gain the weight for that role. I mean, you said that.
He must have thought, I'm going for the Oscar here.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good. I've seen so many movies this year, to be honest. And... oh, I just recently saw Handmaiden. That was really good. So if you've got the time, go out and see that. That's a really good movie.
How does anyone feel about Get Out?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to get onto arguably one of the most talked about films of the year, Get Out, which is a film which I, again, didn't really go there for me. So it's one of those other films that you watch the film... Again, one of the most overhyped films, like Moonlight. There just seems to be the similarity between certain black films and the fact that some people have said it's a great portrayal of American racism. It's probably the best film that's kind of exposed the way the country's going at this present time. But for someone like me watching that film, I didn't really get that sense. I remember talking to you about Get Out months ago before we'd actually seen it. And from watching the trailer, I thought it was a comedy. Someone's playing a big joke. And obviously when I watched the film, it clearly was a joke, which I didn't find particularly funny. There were themes in the film which weren't really expressed well. I could go on about Get Out, but clearly you can tell that it wasn't a film that... met my expectations.
There's this sense of people are saying, oh my God, Get Out, amazing, amazing. And other people are, yes, let me join the crew and say this, amazing. Yes, I've seen it, it's great. But really, do you think you enjoy that?
A lot of people on my timeline just seem to say Get Out is a must-watch film. It's a great film. Da, 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 da. Why aren't the UK making films like this? And I'm kind of taken aback because it's like, whoa,
It's a different market. You know, if you've noticed all of the American films like Hidden Figures, even Moonlight, it's a different, the UK is a different market. Those black American films never seem to do well here.
But the subject matter about an interracial couple, that's surely something that the UK can do here.
Yeah, of course.
Jesse, what do you think about Get Out?
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. And I kind of had a lukewarm feel about it. I was really intrigued by the kind of controversy around it when Samuel L. Jackson came out with that comment and sort of, I thought it's funny because I'm from America, but I've been living here a long time. And I was really pleased to see the actor, Daniel Kaluuya come up and defend himself on that one. You know, so that was, I guess in that sense, the film has sort of sparked a lot of interesting discussions around race and around representation in on screen.
Do you think it went far enough?
No, for me, I don't know. I didn't feel any emotional connection to it. Maybe that's the thing that was missing for me. But I think the idea was clever. But again, we're talking about pushing boundaries. Probably could have been more adventurous in that way.
I mean, on previous shows, we talked about Get Out and the similarities with Jungle Fever, Spike Lee.
Yeah.
And kind of that whole interracial, the way Spike Lee dealt with it compared to how Jordan Peele has dealt with it. Obviously, it's his first directorial debut. There was so much he wanted to put in that film. And I guess that's what kind of was, what's the word I'm looking for? That's what kind of it revealed itself in the end. It was just so many things. The whole thing about black people getting abducted as opposed to white people getting abducted and the sort of attention that gets, there's that issue. I mean, I could go on. Luashka, what do you think about Get Out?
I didn't see it. And
the paid critic has not seen Get Out.
I was away. That's okay. I was on holiday. But I desperately want to see it because I love horror movies as well. But my impression, and maybe this is, wasn't it sort of the feeling was that perhaps people didn't connect with it because it was still kind of from the white liberal perspective. It was actually a film about white people trying to be hey down with the black kind of community. Wasn't there that awkward exchange where this young guy, he comes to meet the white in-laws and they're all like, hey, we voted for Obama, hey, let's just mention I've got black gay, you know, black friends. And it was much more, the humor was much more from that, which is still from a white perspective rather than a black perspective.
Again, we talked about this during the break and you talked about what's his name, JFK, that's right, and what supposedly happened.
Don't
back
get him
then
on JFK.
I'll try and keep him away from JFK, but there's obviously something that you said during the break which took me back to Get Out, and that particular scene where they're literally swapping brains. Obviously, I won't go too much into the plot.
And I think that was, I definitely think they took that from the documentaries they've done about JF Kennedy, because that actually happened. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, they did that to Kennedy, you know, when they're trying to hide a lot of stuff and trying to hide proof.
I mean, this is your opinion, of course.
This is my opinion.
Yes.
This is my opinion, guys, yeah. Get Out still didn't take me somewhere else. It didn't. And kind of takes me back to what Samuel Jackson said. I know some people might say, but I have to agree with him. What would he understand about that in America? He's British. How will he understand? I've watched other films, you know, my dad is Nigerian, and people have gone to theater and people trying to portray some Nigerian things, and I can tell that you're clearly a Jamaican and you're trying, and it's just, you can't experience, there's some things you cannot experience, and it will to come across in the performance.
So what would a black American actor have added to that particular
I'm
story?
Sure, you, it's, you know, that has been passed, he lives there, he knows the culture, he can be able to portray that better, I think. But let's not forget that he's an actor, so it's not real. So this is where it's a 50-50 thing.
I think I was just going to touch on that. I mean,
he's an actor, but I do see his point where Samuel is saying.
The point of being an actor isn't that the reason you're meant to, you're acting, you're meant to play somebody you're not.
Exactly.
I think it's more or less not relevant whether he's British or not. I think
I feel like if it was if he said that about the director Jordan, that makes more sense. You know, if you would say the writer or the director, in a sense, I think because he's sort of the creator of the story. But as an actor, I mean, look at David Oyelowo playing Martin Luther King, Idris playing so many Americans.
And even though
I think an actor has to be able to embody a character regardless of where they're from. So,
but as for my point of view as an actor, I like to be able to, for me to be able to give a good experience, I like to use, I use a lot of my own experiences, depend on the characters.
That's just, but that's so, just one process. There's so many methods.
Of as much as you say the director is not the director, it's the portrayal comes to the actor. So people are not going to talk about the director, it's going to say the
but
actor.
But it'd be jointly. Like, I know. I mean, every, some, I know actors that don't work with their own process. They might use Meisner or whatever. There's different process, different ways of inhabiting a character. I don't think an actor has to have walked into the shoes of that character to play that character.
Of course.
So,
I think it's down to empathy at the end of the day, I guess, isn't it? You can try and imagine, and you're here to portray something, and that's part of your skill, just to be a good performer. No.
Yeah, of course. And I think what it is with the British actors, because they were well trained in the UK, so well trained that I haven't seen a lot of black Americans come into the UK to be able to take those British roles. But the Brits can actually do that in America. And they're so well equipped that they will be able to play an African American. They're well prepared. And they're wow, the directors and casting directors in America. And good on Daniel. Good on him.
Okay, so we seem to agree that Daniel, like you said, defended himself pretty well. I mean, Samuel made a lot of pertinent points in that infamous.
It was good PR as well. Radio. But he brought, you know, maybe it was part of that. Who knows?
I mean, there's talk of a Get Out sequel, which obviously I won't be going to myself. But how do you feel?
You have to. This is the thing. It's like you've got to, in a way, it's you've got to support the box office. You've got to get out and see the films, no?
It hasn't entertained me, so I don't know why I need to spend my hard-earned money to support.
Well, you won't need to now because it's been a huge commercial success. There's just,
I guess.
I worry, like, over the last year, I think the great thing is that things like Hidden Figures and Get Out, which are kind of like black-led films, black-directed films, going into the mainstream, have done really well commercially, because there was definitely a trend with things like, there's a film called Queen of Katwe, which I don't know if you saw, and that was a big experiment by Disney and a big risk, and it really did not do well at the box office.
Why
and
do you think it didn't?
I don't know. It just didn't connect. Maybe it's too worthy. I thought it was good. Maybe it's difficult. It's kind of like young adult audience, kind of difficult. Wasn't really aimed very, you know, young, old. Anyway, I'm not sure why, because I thought it was a good film. But my worry is if people take a film like that and it flops, they'll be like, oh we're not going to do that again. We're not going to have like a live action film that's got a black story that's kind of properly, you know, based on a real life story that's really interesting. So we're just going to, right, okay, we'll just go back to doing the same old stuff again. And I think we're getting now to the tipping point where that's no longer the case. You don't have to support those films anymore because they've just become films rather than, right, you have to get out and...
Sure. I mean, just very briefly, are there any UK films? We've not really talked about UK films.
The United Kingdom. No one's really talking about it. You know,
that's
last
another
year.
One. Yeah, that one. United and Kingdom. Katwe, to me, with, I mean, not just because they've got David in yellow.
I've seen
very it's worthy, both of them.
Very worthy, but very safe. That's why I didn't do anything. Yeah, it's cheap.
They're too manufactured. Yeah. Are they trying to do something? Was that the thing?
This seems to be a recurring theme. Yeah. People are just not going there.
They're not going there. Arma didn't go there. She didn't go there. She didn't get the two cultures, Botswana and the UK, and really play around with the directing and those decisions.
But again, based on a true story.
It's based on a true story. The president of Botswana, and you know, and it's very beautiful. I call it pretty. One of those pretty nice little films.
Well,
she's trying
to do like a, you know, period picture. That, yeah. You know, like she did with Belle as well. You know.
Belle again, pretty, very safe.
If you've watched her first film, A Way of Life, I say to most people, that's the best film out of all the ones that Amara has made. You need to watch A Way of Life.
Is it a feature?
It's a feature, yeah. Set in Cardiff, white working class family. Amara's first film blew me away when I saw it. So obviously following her career, a lot of people seem to agree that United Kingdom was quite safe. People weren't sure whether it was a political story or a love story. So again, lines are blurred.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was political, it would have scared a lot of people from going to the box office because they're not really going to the cinema to get political. But I guess in 2017, there was a lot more political stuff being made. And again, bringing it back to Get Out, the fact that they didn't go there with certain issues. Again, we're coming back to this same playing safe. What does it yield?
One thing I have to straight out about United Kingdom was for the first time I'm watching a film that portrayed the 50s and I actually saw a multicultural London that I've never seen it in any other film. And I was, oh wow, were black people in London in the 50s owning bars and restaurants? That you will never see that on an ITV production. And they take that away. They're trying to hide it. When in that portrayal actually showed what actually London looked like in the 50s and 60s.
I don't know what it's still online, but I remember film 2016 reviewing United Kingdom and the way they slaughtered it. And that's the way I can describe it. That's probably scared quite a few people from going to see the film. So I think there's something to be had for, and the fact that it's the only film TV show review.
Yeah.
Larsa, correct me on that. Is that?
Yeah, that's the only one. So the fact that's in a like midnight slot, so.
Sure. Have you ever been on film 2016?
Briefly, yes.
Okay. Which one were you on?
I was talking about Basic Instinct.
Okay. Do go on.
No, it wasn't. It was Fatal Attraction.
Oh, right.
However many anniversary year of Fatal Attraction. That and Silence of the Lambs. So,
it's great reviewing. Films. Great films.
I know, aren't they? Can I just go back to what you were saying about... Because that's the thing David Oyelowo is often talking about, like, yeah, the fact that period drama is completely white in this country, whereas black people did exist.
Mm. Yep. I was shocked. I was watching it and I was shocked. It's like, wow.
But there's a film out this year, a very small film called Lady Macbeth that's been out recently.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know about that because that's kind of, they called it, I suppose, it's, what do you think about colourblind casting in a period
Oh, we talked
film?
About that in a previous episode. I mean, to be fair, Andrew Arnold... experimented with that with Wuthering Heights.
I thought it was very effective in Lady Macbeth. Yeah, it worked for me. I don't know, wasn't it an issue, it just made it more normal. It was like okay, didn't become this big thing.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Still more conversation to be had. If it's Friday night, it is Meet the Critics. We are continuing our conversation of movie highlights of 2017, and I've just obviously realised during the break that some of the films we've talked about obviously came out last year, 2016, and obviously the Oscars and the BAFTAs to that extent, they based it on films shown the previous year. So if you're thinking, well, that film came out last year, which Laroska pointed out to me just now, it's like, well, it kind of transfers itself over. Speaking of which, other films that kind of fall into that category, Brotherhood, which is a film which was released in the summer of 2016, was in the UK cinemas for 13 consecutive weeks and grossed over £3.4 million. For those that are uninitiated, Brotherhood is the third in the trilogy of films starring Noel Clarke, who wrote, directed and starred in the latter two, that being Adulthood and Brotherhood, Kidulthood. He wrote and starred in, that was directed by Menaj Huda. Before the break, we were talking about UK movie highlights of 2016, and I just wanted to find out from the panel their views on Brotherhood. Jesse, I'll start with you as the director.
I really liked it. I know Noel Clarke pretty well, friend of his, you know, and...
So you'll be nice about him then.
Yeah. No, but regardless of that, I thought it was... I actually personally think it's the best of the trilogy. I thought it was the best.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I really think he... and he's admitted he was sort of finding his feet as a director on Adulthood. And I think for Brotherhood, it really clicked. And I thought the storytelling was really strong. I thought the message was really clear. And I thought it was a real success, you know. And, you know... He's somebody, you know, that I have a lot of respect for, because this guy really creates his own opportunities. He doesn't sit around and wait for anything. He just goes after it. And I admire that a lot, you know, produce, direct, write. He's, you know, sort of taught himself. He didn't go to film school. He kind of self-taught. And I've got a lot of respect for that guy.
Yeah, Noel Clarke is inspiring, I think, to any... you know, filmmaker, you know, actor, whatnot. But my question is he trying to do too many things? And sometimes I have an issue when you try to direct, you try to write, you start in it. Where is your focus? I saw him tweeting terribly the BAFTAs, asking why his film has not been nominated.
Well, it's surely a fair point to make. Obviously, all the box office, etc., etc. Yeah. The critical acclaim was lacking to an extent, wasn't it?
Yeah. But like,
why do you think that was?
I don't know.
Why didn't he get a BAFTA? Or
obviously he's won a BAFTA before, no, but for Brotherhood,
get nominated.
Because again, it's a story we all know. The hood, the days. It's not something, you know. It's good for the market for people going to see it. And I thought Brotherhood was outstanding. I loved it. I think it was best, the best he's ever done. But when it comes to the BAFTA, to this, it's just, it's nothing new. We all know it. We've seen them. So it isn't something, you know, out of the box, I would say.
Laroshka?
Well, the BAFTA that Noel won was for the Rising Star Award, which I happen to be on the jury of. So I know about that award, and I think that was a fitting award for him because it's a Rising Star Award, but it's sort of nominating someone who, or rewarding someone who has that energy and that drive, yeah. And that more than anything, I think, is what he's got. You're saying about the lack of, I appreciate what you mean, maybe particularly as an actor, you know, the lack of focus maybe in terms of his acting work because he's trying to do so much. I mean, I think he's just brilliant as a producer and a director, yeah, and an energizer within the industry. Yeah. And I remember interviewing him quite a few years ago and, feeling the respect for him and the fact that he was going, you know, he's saying, I want to make commercial films in the British film industry, and no one said that.
It's
they
rare,
still don't
even
in
now.
That time. It's like almost a dirty thing to say, like, oh, you want crowd-pleasing films that make money and connect with an audience. Like, how dare you, you know?
I think it's John, you said that Brotherhood for you was the best out of the...
Yeah, absolutely. A Brotherhood out of the three was the best.
I think Kidderhood was the best, personally.
I think definitely Brotherhood, especially he showed the progression into, of course, adult life, where your focus has changed. His focus obviously had changed, the character. His focus has obviously changed onto family and to getting out of, you know, like Stefan said, like, yeah, that's the story we do all know of, you know, in the hood, whatever else. But it was good to see the transgression from that. And there was lots of bits that were funny in there as well. Mm. It was just an overall good film, I think. For me, it's just definitely just the best.
There was talk about the portrayal of females in Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
What's your view about that?
Well, in terms of the portrayal of females, I mean, some of them. What do you mean? Because what about the portrayal of them?
Obviously, there's a lot of graphic scenes in the film, and it was one. Was it The Guardian made a pertinent point about, or they actually linked the portrayal of females in Brotherhood to other films that Noel has written, directed, or starred or directed in the past, whereby he seems to have this one-dimensional view of females in his films. Mm. Obviously, Noel can't defend himself, but that's the point that was made.
And what view is that of them?
Well, that they were seen as degrading to an extent in Brotherhood. Thinking of the wife, the screen wife, and there's another female character in the film.
And all the nudity. And
indeed.
Yeah.
Due to the content of the film, I guess that's just a realisation of how women are probably looked at in these places, in the hood. I guess he's only showing a representation of...
That's exactly how I got that as well.
What else can
so
he
So I guess
do?
He didn't have a responsibility to maybe flip that?
To flip it and show what he... So he was just showing what was going on in the hood. I don't know what else he could have done, personally.
Well, I mean, it is called Brotherhood. So we're talking it's very much from a male perspective. I think that's the thing. I'd almost forgotten that. When you were saying, think of the women in the film, I can literally just, remember the nagging wife. Mm. So but that probably says quite a lot. And when you said nudity, I was like, I do remember now kind of going, oh, really, Noel? It's like, but I guess that's part of the crowd-pleasing element, isn't it?
You know. Well, for me, until the moment with the mum, who's the other female character, I wasn't really getting into Brotherhood. So until that scene, I just thought, this is just another same old, same old. But then my attention just kind of, right, okay, now we're talking. So again, it was on the verge of being another of those films that just wasn't going there. And you just felt with the plot that when that scene occurred, I just thought, okay.
But to me, there's still that trace of, when I think of Noel Clark, I think of Kidderhood. To me, again...
Which is why Kidderhood is
anyone favorite. Would say his legacy, like, we'll go straight to Festival to Kidderhood because it was the first thing, it was that new thing. Now, every film's got that trace of of Kidderhood and we'll probably will never leave Noel Clark. I'd like to see him direct something else.
Well, I think, you know, that's the thing. Brotherhood gives a hint of that because he's, the humour in it. I think we all connected with that. He's kind of, taking the mickey out of that kind of style of filmmaking, isn't it? Like, I've done all these hoodie films and there's more to it. We don't have to be all earnest about it anymore. And it's about the characters finding a new maturity. And I think hopefully he will find a new maturity as a filmmaker. That's what the signs were pointing to. Maybe have granddadhood, I don't know. It's going to be middle-aged hood, I don't know.
There is a film called Grand Adulthood, which is out there. It's a short film, which Buff actually showed a few years ago. So it is there. Some would say Noel Clark is the UK's answer to Spike Lee. Is that a little bit too much? Or
it's a bit too much.
Okay.
I didn't even think twice. It is a bit too much. He needs to come out and widen his horizons, and you can't. No, don't even try it, Spike Lee. No.
So, as an actor, what would you say is the best film you've seen him in as an actor? Are we still confining it to The Hoods? Because obviously he's done other stuff and he's done TV as well. Because I remember watching Noel Clarke for the first time in Doctor Who. As Billy Piper's boyfriend. I thought he did that well. But there's a film he did with Johnny Harris called Huge, which I thought was one of his best performances ever, where he played this kind of failed stand-up comedian trying to get back in the game.
As an actor, I'm not really a fan of him.
Okay.
I don't know, because I have it in the back of my mind. He's a director, he's a writer. I don't really connect. So I probably want him to just do your thing that we all know, being producer, that energetic director and writer, and be behind it 100%, trying to put yourself as an actor as well. You're doing too much. So because of that, I tend not to take him seriously.
Okay. Even though he's first and foremost an actor.
Yeah, even though. I see the same Noels everywhere. I don't see those great, dramatic, different characterizations.
So you think he's typecast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesse?
I think he's his best, you know, he's an amazing producer, like a naturally gifted producer.
Yeah.
Like, I've never met anyone that had that kind of just vision and wit and tenacity. As an actor, I thought he gave a strong performance, you know, in Brotherhood. And I mean, is he like on the level of like an Oyelowo or some of the...
No.
I mean, those guys are like chameleons, you know, you can't even recognize
those people.
They just sink into their roles and yeah, so...
Those are classically trained actors that to the bone, they change from Shakespeare to The Who to African to anything.
We don't have to be classically trained to be a chameleon, because that's such strong word.
I know, but there's that tendency, these people know their craft, so he seems to be in this same style of Brotherhood kind of acting and typecasting. That's what
I don't think it's to do with the training, because there's some actors that are amazing that have no training. I don't think Johnny Depp ever trained, and he's a great actor.
No, and he's not
true. But I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that he has his eye on so much of the process.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for instance, working with Andre Royo from The Wire. This is a method guy. I've never seen somebody, he lives in the character for months.
Yeah.
And when he rocked up to Miami, he was like a different person than the one I met months ago when I pitched the film to him. I don't think Noel has the time even to do that, because he's raising finance and doing all the other things, whereas somebody like Andre, literally all he focuses on is his character.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that kind of commitment affects a performance, you know?
Yeah.
So do you think that with now Brotherhood at its natural end, that opens it up to Noel to be someone else, as it were? Because as we've intimated, it looks like he's coming across as typecast, because he has done stuff since Brotherhood. He was in a ITV drama, The Level, and he's got some other stuff coming out.
But it's that walk he does, and you see still it is in him. It's that typecast. I can't get it out of my head. Even he's doing other things, there's that Noel movement and mannerism that he brings it to every film, and I can get it.
I mean, do you have a view about Noel Clarke typecast? Can you see him diversifying?
I haven't seen his work on telly enough to know, really. I mean, I think he's got potential to do it. But yeah, I kind of don't want him to do well as an actor, because I think he's so brilliant behind the camera. We need more of that.
Yeah.
You know, we've got enough people in front of the camera. I'm just really interested to see what he does next, or what he wants to do next, or where he's taking things. Because, he was such a trailblazer.
Joanna?
I guess all you can do is hope that, you know, with the ending of the trilogy of The Hoods, that he will progress and, like Lavushka said earlier, mature in his work. So we only have to watch this space and see if he will lead off from that into something else that gets him out of the typecast that Stefan thinks he's in. So we just have to watch this kid.
Well, I think, you know, as you said, the end of the Hood trilogy, and let's hope it's kind of the end of, all black films have to be about the hood and be about these kind of things. You know, it's the time for the stories to move on and everything
exactly.
to move on.
Thank you.
And if he can move on, then he could have that responsibility to try and take it somewhere new. He'd be the perfect person to kind of recreate
a story, because he's got that energy. Noel's got
positivity,
it.
So much positivity.
So much, you know.
Okay, we'll leave it there on that positive note. our time is up. My thanks to this week's critics, who have been Joanna Iluka, Lavushka Ivanzada, Stefan Pierre Mitchell, and Jesse Quinones. And remember, they're not the only ones. So until the next time, if it's Friday night on Colourful Radio, I'm Emmanuel Animo Sigwe, and this is Meet the Critics.